I have the great privilege of introducing my brother this evening. I know that he is an honest man. I know that he has deep faith. And I know that he has made preparations for this hour. If we will but pay attention to the words that he has to say, we will be blessed this evening. Let's remember our brother in prayer, and let's open our ears that we might hear the words that God would have us hear this evening. Apostle Frank Phan.
Thank you, Brother Larry, for that kind introduction. I was talking to my brother Dan Lawrence downstairs a while ago, and he informed me that our brother Placido would like to preach. If we was in the Philippines, I guarantee Brother Placido would be up here. Brother Mike and I were in the Philippines. It was getting along towards the last of our trip. And we had to go to this mountain village, and it was raining. Oh, it was raining hard. And we had to hike up there. We got up there, and I was wet. I was miserable. I was out of sorts. I know it's hard for you to believe. I was about half mad that I had to be out in the rain and miserable. Now in the Philippines, it's either Brother Mike or Brother Frank. And Brother Mike and Brother Frank the same day. You get no breaks. And so they called on me. And they said, Brother Frank will give the words of encouragement. And I didn't feel very encouraging. And so I stood up, and I looked down, and there sitting in front of me was three elders, a priest, and a teacher. And I said, brothers and sisters, Priest Arturo Superio will give the message this morning. And he looked at me like, what's wrong with that crazy American? But I made him get up. And he did a marvelous job. And my question to you, Brother Placido. If I invited you up, are you prepared to give a mighty sermon? Brother Ronnie Gill, if I call on you, are you prepared to give a mighty sermon? I hope so. I hope so. Because that's what's required. That we always be prepared. Praise be the Lord that I'm here tonight. Now I have a question. Did that embarrass you? Did that embarrass you? Now I have a confession. There has been times when I've heard that I've been embarrassed. And I wonder, why would I be embarrassed? Because here in Alma, the 14th chapter, the 94th verse, it says, yea, we have reason to praise him forever, for he is the Most High God. And yet I find myself, when I hear someone exuberantly praising God, I feel embarrassed. Why is that? Should we feel embarrassed? No, I don't believe we should feel embarrassed. But I tell you why I feel embarrassed. Because we have heard and we have seen a certain church in the world that is all they do is praise God. There's nothing else to their doctrine except praise. And I fear from time to time, and it's been impressed upon me lately, that fear may be within me, and I'm talking to myself, and I'm talking about myself, that fear may be in me with such strength that I would fail to praise my Heavenly Father for all of the many things that He has done for me. And I read in Psalms. You know, and David wrote a lot of the Psalms. And David praised our Heavenly Father. And he praised Him with might. You know, David was just a shepherd. And he wrote Psalms from the viewpoint of a shepherd. And do you think, can you remember how many times shepherd and sheep are mentioned in the scriptures? How they're talked about and used as examples. The Bible even says that we are His sheep and are of His pasture. You know, I think Christ used this analogy often. Because the people back in Christ's time, they knew sheep. You know, there was a lot of sheep in the hills and there was a lot of shepherds around. And they understood when He used that analogy. But maybe today, when we read these things, we don't understand so much about sheep and shepherds. How they act and how they react. But we know that the 23rd Psalm was written by David, a herder of sheep. And we know that he wrote the 23rd Psalm from a shepherd's point of view. And we know that he used this psalm to praise our Heavenly Father. It starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd." And oh, what praise there is in that. What a mighty statement. The Lord is my shepherd. But that kind of deserves a question, doesn't it? You know, who is this Lord? What is His character? You know, what is He? And most important, does this Lord have the qualifications to be my shepherd? Does He have the qualifications to be my manager? Does He have the qualification to be my owner? A shepherd owns his sheep, does he not? He manages his sheep, does he not? Is the Lord qualified to be my owner? And I think the Lord that he was talking about here in the 23rd Psalm is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you not agree? In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, the fourth verse. It says, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people." And then it goes on to say, a leader, a commander to the people. And I'd like to turn over to Matthew. And if you would like to read along with me, we're going to read out of the first chapter of Matthew, and we're going to read 21 through 23. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins." Praise be to God that we have someone that is able, that is willing, that is qualified to save us from our sins. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." How much more qualified does he need to be my owner and my manager? A God who can save me from my sins. A God who can give me eternal life. A God who can take care of me. A God who can watch over me. So I want him. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be my shepherd. I want him to be my protector. I want him to be my provider. Then in the 23rd Psalm, it goes on to say, "I shall not want." You know, going back to the analogy of sheep, and I don't know how many know much about sheep. I didn't until I started doing a little research for this. But I found out one thing. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. Kind of like us, aren't they? They're helpless. And on their own, they cannot survive. The shepherd has to provide the sheep's every need. On its own, the sheep will eat all of the grass and starve to death. On their own, they'll defile their grazing area. And the shepherd has to move them from time to time. He has to make sure that they have plenty of water to drink. Everything that a sheep needs for a good life, the shepherd gives him. Oh, how so much like us are they. Everything that we need, God has to supply. And I dare say we are dumb. And I dare say that without God, we cannot survive. So we need to turn over our lives to that shepherd. We need to let him give us all of our needs. And if we do this, if we submit ourselves to his will, we shall not want. Praise be to God for providing us with everything that we need. For providing us that good life. Then David goes on to say, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, I found out in my studies that sheep are strange. They won't lie down to rest if they are afraid. They won't lie down to rest if they're hungry. They won't lie down to rest if pests are bothering them like flies or gnats. But the shepherd sees that the wolves and the dogs and the pests are kept away. And they make sure that there is plenty of grass for them to eat, so they can lie down and rest. God does that for you and I. He makes sure that we are calm. He makes sure that our fears are taken care of. And I dare say that we have been fearful from time to time. There has been times when I was in the Philippines that I have been frightened. That I was afraid for my life. And yet God calmed me. A few years ago when Brother Mike and I were sitting in our hotel room and listening to the bombs go off at the airport, at the ferry station, at the substations, I was frightened. And without the help of our Heavenly Father, would have been overcome. But praise be to God that He was mindful of our needs. And they closed the airport. And they closed off the town to where all we could do was go outside the hotel and right back in the door. I went outside and next door to the email place. I was going to email my wife and tell her I was okay. And as I was typing on the email, I felt a presence. A soldier looking over my shoulder, looking at everything that I wrote. And then looking at every email that I had. I was a stranger. I was a foreigner. I was a suspect. Frightening. But God, in His mercy, gave me peace and comfort. We say prayers to God to watch over us while we rest, while we lay down in our green pastures. Then David goes on to say, He leadeth me beside the still waters. The shepherd, when he's taking care of his sheep, he chooses water that is still, so that they won't be swept away. God leads us You know, we're sometimes upset. We're sometimes frustrated. We're sometimes agitated. And we stand in need of God's leading. In God giving us a calmness. You know, how many of us here tonight suffer from that upset from time to time? Suffer in our minds and our souls, not really knowing, not really understanding what's going on around us. I've heard it said that with God's help, the world can be falling down around us and we will be calm. And I believe it. I believe it. Psalms 107:28 says, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress." He leadeth me by the still waters. Then in Psalms 29:11, it says, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." It's a mighty great thing to have. The peace of God. That peace in our souls. Turn with me, if you will, to the Philippian letter. In the 4th chapter, starting with verse 7. I'm going to read verse 7 and 8. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding." And we as humans really cannot understand that marvelous peace that God offers to you and I. Offers us that peace if we follow him. If we put ourselves in his hand. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. You know, it's going to tell us at the last of this reading that we're to think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, we need to think on them. And what we find when we find truth is a way to Jesus Christ. Truth is the way to Jesus Christ. Truth leads to peace. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Can we do that? Can we think on honest and just and true things? Because God tells us if we do, we can have that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That we as humans can't even fathom. And no matter what happens, and no matter how bad things are, that no matter how bleak it looks, we can have peace. We can have peace of God. We, I think, as baptized members of the church, and most of us here are, and we're in good standing with God, then it's probably well with us. Yeah, we go to church on Sunday. We go to church Wednesday night. We love our neighbor. So it's probably well with us. But from time to time, brothers and sisters, from time to time, we need our souls restored. I think of David, who wrote this song. And even though he was in favor of the Lord, he slipped. He sinned. He needed his soul restored. And how is this possible for us to get our souls restored? How is it possible for when we slip to come back to God? Well, we know how that is. We know it's through repentance. It's through a repentant life, a repentant heart. You know, we read of David, and he said many, many times, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I bet in the Psalms there's maybe 100 times he said this. Why hast thou forsaken me? Do we feel from time to time that God has forsaken us? That maybe he is not mindful of us as much as we think he should be? That maybe he might be ignoring us, not talking to us as much as he should, not giving us enough blessings, not performing enough miracles? Do we ever feel that way? I know we do, because I've heard you say it. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from me? But brothers and sisters, let me assure you that God is mindful of you. And let me assure you, he has not forsaken us. And let me assure you that he will work with us. And he will supply miracles. I have seen miracles. I have heard revelation. I have heard tongues. God is mindful of us. And if we feel like that is not happening enough, brothers and sisters, it is our fault. We have moved a step away. And we need to get back. And we need to have our souls restored once again. God will be mindful of us. He is quick to answer our prayers. Oh, I think of how he answered the prayers of the church for Brother Ben Rentinel. They sent us the scans of his body. Sister Patty McGee took them to the hospital where she worked. Had the radiologist look at him. And he said to her, "Is this a relative of yours?" She says, "No, just a brother in Christ in the Philippines." He says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. There's no hope for this man. And yet you heard. You heard read to you a letter from Brother Ben telling of that marvelous blessing that was his. Not only did he have to fight this tumor that was in his body, but he has to fight the hospitals that are dirty. Brother Steve McGee went to the Philippines with me. We went into a hospital to administer to someone. And we done our administration and we got back in the van. We was heading for the hotel and Brother Steve said to me, "Brother Frank, leave me in the hotel. It's dirty. It's unsanitary. People die just from being there. So I know that God works miracles." And as he worked miracles with me, he worked miracles with Brother Ben through and by the prayers of the saints. Then David goes on to say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And David was writing this from the view of a shepherd. And that staff that the shepherd carries. When the sheep become agitated, when they become unruly, he reaches out and he touches them. Just as God touches you and I with his staff. Even though we may be walking through that valley of death. I know I know 18 months ago when I was walking through that shadow, his staff touched me. And even though I was in that shadow of death, I felt no fear. I felt no evil. Because his staff touched me. And it will you too. It's It's a promise. It's a reason for you and I to say, praise be God for all of his tender mercies to you and I. You know, the shepherd, they lead their sheep through all the dangers and keep them safe. You know, this is something that I learned. I didn't know. It says if a sheep lays down and gets on its back for some reason, and its feet, not one of its legs, are touching the ground, it cannot get up. And there's a name for it. They say it's called casting. Casting. A sheep will get casted. And the shepherd has to go and watch. And when he sees that sheep, he has to turn it over so that the sheep's legs will touch the ground and he can stand up. God does that to you and I. When we get on our backs, when we get down and not able to stand, he lifts us up. Because he's always with us. He's always watching over us. His presence is always there. And then he says in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And there's another thing shows how sheep act. There's a little bitty fly. It's called a nose fly. And this nose fly gets in the nose of sheep. And it lays larva, it lays eggs and it turns into larva and it goes up into the head. And it drives the sheep batty. They'll find themselves banging their heads against the wall to try to get relief. Oh, how much that's like you and I. How we bang our heads against the wall to try to get relief from our problems. Try to get relief from our trials and tribulations. Trying to get relief from our frustrations. And we bang our heads against them. But the shepherd, he has a cure. He mixes oil with tar and he puts it on the sheep's head. And it takes care of those things. Just as God anoints our head with oil in our time of trouble, in our time of sickness, God puts his oil upon our heads. Praise be God. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can we praise God for that? That goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life? And what is required of you and I? Just obedience. Just obedience. Just submitting our wills to God. Then he offers to you and I that he will dwell, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know for sure. But you know, the sheep might know that with the loving hand of their shepherd, they have goodness and mercy because they're taken care of at all times. But I guess the real question is, brothers and sisters, how do we feel about it? Do we feel that we have goodness and mercy? How many of us feel that no matter what occurs in our lives, that we're being followed by goodness and mercy? God offers it to you and I. It's ours for the taking. It's a gift to you and I. In the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, starting with the fourth verse, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." That goodness, that mercy is a gift for you and I. John 10:9 says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." And that's what the shepherd is going to do for you and I. He's going to find pasture for us. He's going to find rest for our souls. In the Book of Mormon, second book of Nephi, chapter 9, starting with verse 1-3-2. "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comforts me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and be not afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall he say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel, in the midst of thee. And great is the Holy One of Israel in our midst. And I pray, God, that we give praise and honor unto him continually. I have a poem by Helen Steiner Rice that I'd like to close with. It's entitled, Beyond Our Asking. More than years can imagine or minds comprehend, God's bountiful gifts are ours without end. We ask for a cupful when the vast sea is ours. We pick a small rosebud from a garden of flowers. We reach for a sunbeam, but the sun still abides. We draw one short breath, but there's air on all sides. Whatever we ask for falls short of God's giving, for his greatness exceeds every faucet of living. And always God's ready and eager and willing to pour out his mercy, completely fulfilling all our needs for peace, joy, and rest. For God gives his children whatever is best. Just give him a chance to open his treasures, and he'll fill your life with unfathomable pleasures. Brother Placido, it's your turn. Thank you very much.